All right, you ready for the word?
Yes.
Listen, I've been really inspired by these thoughts. And, you know, Pastor Vaughan had such a large place in my life. There's certain verses that when I read them, I hear him. And this is one of those verses that I always will. Another one is this one. Whenever I hear this one, let the man who says he knows, let him know he doesn't know as he ought. Whenever I hear that verse, I hear Pastor Vaughan. And this is another one that I just, you know, I just hear him when I hear it. It says this in Proverbs 22. Do not move an ancient boundary stone set up by your forefathers. And I love that. There's wisdom within that. Don't move ancient boundary stones that have been set up by your forefathers in the faith. And then it says in chapter 23, in verse 10, the following chapter, again it says, do not move an ancient boundary stone or encroach on the fields of the fatherless. For their defender is strong and he will take up their case against you. The wisdom there is don't move boundary stones that shouldn't be moved. In fact, live by them. And when I look over the last 2 years of my life, I can't say that I've really preached anything new. But I've preached some really good old stuff that needed to be preached again. Because actually, like water in the world, there isn't no new water. There's one amount of water that goes round and comes round, goes round and comes round. And what I've discovered in God's truth is we're only rediscovering things our forefathers in the faith discovered. We think we found things and then we suddenly realize there's a book with dust in it by a person that discovered it in their generation. The problem is we're in a pursuit for new truth when actually we should be just as passionately consumed in making sure we know as we ought the things we say we know. Amen. Let the man who says he knows, let him know he doesn't know as he ought. Man, we're all guilty of that. As Pentecostals, we run around saying, well, I know about the things of the Spirit. You may know in part as through a misty window, but none of us know as we ought. And it seems in the last few years, the last 2 years specifically, I've had the Lord saying to me, no, I don't want to concentrate on anything new. I mean, okay, skinny jeans are cool and Josh is going to look really good in them. But we all know skinny jeans don't change the world. Truth changes the world. And we don't want to be swept up in a style of Christianity that just causes people to jump high, but they don't walk straight when they land. We've got to be preaching truth that changes and sets people free. Amen. You know, I've had dreams in the last 2 years of me bringing up from the basement furniture. And in those dreams, I remember saying to the Lord, what are you saying? And he said, it's time to bring up some furniture that belongs to me to the house of God again. Things that are important to God need to be important to us. Amen. And, you know, these ancient boundary stones, in the olden days, boundary stones were used like fences. They were there to tell you whose property was whose. But also boundary stones were used for sacrifice. But also they were used for direction. People would place boundary stones in position to help people to understand how they should walk, where they should walk. In the same way, we would do well not to lay aside boundary stones established by God and by our forefathers in the faith for a pursuit of modern stones that move with the wind. Now, don't get me wrong, there's some things about modern Christianity, they're fun, they're trendy, and they're good, they fit in with what God's doing. But not at the cost of replacing boundary stone truth in our life. So what I'm saying is, I don't know, I've got nothing new for you tonight, but I don't really want to preach anything new. I want to remind you of something you shouldn't have forgotten. I want to remind me of things I'd do well not to forget. Now, I'm kind of laying the platform because I'm going to teach on something tonight that's been, sadly, in some arenas, made impure. I'm going to teach on something tonight that even before I tell you what I'm going to teach on, I want to pre-warn you not to shut off because you've been conditioned to shut off the moment I tell you what I'm going to teach you on. I'm going to teach on a subject that some of you, the moment I mention the subject, you're going to go, oh no, not this. But you must listen because I'm not talking about what you think I'm talking about. I've got a larger context of revelation. I want to talk about something tonight that when the Lord started to say to me, Andrew, because he calls me Andrew, him and my mum, the rest of you is Andy, all right, if we got that straight. But when the Lord said to me, Andrew, I want you to start to teach the body this. I said, no, Lord, I don't really want to, because there's so much stigma attached to this subject. And I really don't need that much aggro at the moment in my life. I've generated enough. But I really felt the Lord say, no, I want my people to do this again, to understand this again, to benefit from this again. What am I talking about? Sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. Now, the moment I said sowing and reaping, some of you men clenched your bottom cheeks to protect your wallet. I saw you move. Some of you ladies, you moved your purse away from where you wouldn't. Some of you men put your foot on your ladies' purses. Because sadly, there's been manipulation over this subject. Yet the subject remains something that's important to God and vital for us to understand. So if you'll bear with me tonight, I want to talk about sowing and reaping. But if you'll allow me, let's take finances and just put them over there for a moment. Because sowing and reaping is not about your money. It's about a way of life that God has given you to live. You say, well, it involves my money. Yeah, unless you've discovered a way to live in life without using money, and if you have, please let us know. In fact, we'll cancel me speaking now and we'll welcome you and applaud you because we all want to learn how to do that. So yeah, money is a part of our world and it's a part of sowing and reaping. But the problem is not all, but certain tele-evangelists have polluted something that God established to be pure and good for us. And God wants us to rediscover the power of this incredible harvest determining force in our own lives. Because we've ended up living not like promised land people, but like just guys that are just, Lord, give me manna. Lord, help me. Bail me out again. When actually God said, well, in the beginning, I set up a law, a principle, a way of living that actually gave a lot of power to you to determine the experiences or harvests that you can set up for yourself in life. And God doesn't want us, the whole season of living off of manna wasn't the final plan. The final plan was people living in promise, knowing how God's blessing was on their hands and God's blessing was on their abilities. That's where God wants us to live. So I want to teach you tonight, and I feel a little bit bad for you guys because I've kind of traveled around the world and, you know, for 2 years now they've been advertising my coming with radio adverts and TV broadcasts and planes flying with adverts attached to them and that. And you've come tonight and queued for hours, some of you out there, in the heat and there was no juice, but you knew you had to be here. Some of you have pilgrimaged for weeks to be in this meeting and hear me speak. And I'm bringing out this golden oldie teaching that you think you know, but I want to say to you, maybe you don't know as you ought, or maybe you've become familiar with it and stop letting the power of it be present in your life. All right, we're all friends, so let's take money and move it. We'll come back to it because it's a part. Let's just leave it up there. Because what I want to put to you, members of the jury, is sowing and reaping is not about money alone. It's about your life. Sowing and reaping isn't something you're going to decide to do. You're doing it. Today, you've already been sowing and reaping, but some of you didn't realize what you were doing. Imagine if we could add fresh realization to the fact that we are sowing and reaping in our relationships, in our health, in every different subsection of this existence God's blessed us to live, we are sowing. Today you did sow. It's not will you, should you. You have sown. And today you and me are living in harvests. The problem is that some of us have forgotten we created them. Which is great if it's good, but not if it's not. But if it's not a good crop, we can do something about that. So I'm going to bring you some verses that you know and you got taught in Sunday school. Is that right? And I know you got taught these verses by your pastors in this house over the years. I know it did. I know it because I learned most of the things I learned about sowing and reaping, I learned from Pastor Vaughan and Wendy 25 years ago. Everybody with me to learn something that you thought you knew? All right. So it says in Genesis 8:22. And I'm just going to reference these verses. If you're taking notes, just make note. Listen, there's going to be a powerful breakthrough on your life tonight. Not on your finances alone, on your life. Yeah. Marriages are going to be changed tonight. Relationships with children are going to be changed tonight. People's health is going to be changed tonight. But as we rediscover these truths that have gone nowhere, they've always been there. But God established with Noah, and he did with Adam, but specifically with the agreement with Noah, we see God. Now, please don't shout off, yeah, Noah. No, you don't know this as you ought. We've all forgotten the power of this. And God's blowing on it again so that we can get excited again. But we're living in this continuum of seed time and harvest in our life. So in Genesis 8:22, I'm not going to read every verse. You've heard them. You should have memorized them by now. You can check the references if you don't believe I'm telling you the truth. But we see that God comes to Noah, and this is after he's cleansed the earth through the flood and all that backstory. And he comes to Noah and he says, listen, Noah, some things you can guarantee will happen as long as the earth remains. Now, that's a big statement. That's a long guarantee. As long as the earth remains, just give it a thump. If you're a part of this earth, this is for you tonight. As long as the earth remains, and then he gives a list of things in Genesis 8. He says hot and cold, day and night, summer and winter. And all of us go, yeah, I know that. You're a genius, aren't you? Coming all the way from England. Yeah. And we know in our hearts, I didn't go to bed last night and say, oh, I hope there'll be more. I didn't know that pizza was coming in such ferocity. I didn't expect that invasion of carbs. You two got me, you really did. But when I went to bed last night, I didn't go to bed going, oh, I hope there's going to be a day tomorrow. I had perfect assurance. Summer and winter. Okay. In England, that can be seriously challenged. But we do have summer. It's normally around July the 14th. But there is the expression of summer in England. I mean, you guys have winter, summer. I love New York because you get such a definite season, don't you? You know, when it snows, it snows. When it's, I love that. In England, it's just grey. Different shades of grey determine summer and winter, you know. But there's summer and winter. There's hot and cold. But at the top of the list, God says to Noah, it's amazing, he says, seed time and harvest. The top of the list. And what God was saying to Noah, he was saying to mankind, as long as the earth remains, seed time and honey. Remember, this isn't just agricultural and it's not just about money. We've placed money over here so everybody feels nice and safe, right? Take your foot off your wallets and you're safe. I'm not going to suddenly jump you with a secret anointing or anything like that. All right? But notice, again, old school teaching, seed time and harvest is not two things, it's three. There's always seed. The moment you sow something, that can be attitude, word. It can be any manner of thing. The moment you sow something, and then there's seed time. There's always a moment of waiting. Sometimes it's a week, sometimes it's a year. But then there comes a time of harvest. Some Christians are so crazy. They sow and then they expect instantaneous results. A farmer wouldn't do that. A farmer finds good soil and he sows good seed. And then he goes to his farmhouse and he rests confident that there will be a harvest. There's a moment of time, but there will be. We need to learn from the farmer. But still today, there's seed, the time we sow something, time, and time can be positive or negative. For the person that sowed positively, we can have a confidence that the seed is in the ground, it's only a matter of time and God's going to do good on what he promised. But for the guy that sowed gossip, they can kid themselves that they've got away with it. No, listen, after a short amount of time, it's going to come and bite your bum. Because what a man sows, that he will reap. And so we learn again that God instituted for us, not just Noah, this divine law and principle of seed time and harvest. And again, we learn through Galatians 6, these are classic chapters and verses, Galatians 6, verses 7 to 8. Don't be mocked. Put another way. Don't kid yourself. What a man sows, that he will reap. All right, so we've discovered the initial the starting of this process between God and Noah. As long as the earth remains... Is he coming for me? No, he's not. We're all right. You don't know, when you're a famous preacher like me that travel, you know, people can rush you like that. They really can, and you just become a little bit... But he was conscious of my military training there and chose to go off at the last moment. You're a wise man. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest. That's a godly established principle. Galatians 6, 7 to 8. Don't kid yourself. What a person sows, that they will reap. You cast your bread upon the water negatively or positively, it will come back to you. The world understands this more than some of the church. The world walks around saying, you know what? What goes around comes around. What's that? That's seed time and harvest. And they don't realize they're talking about a principle that our God invented for our benefit. And you get other ones. I mean, we had a charity song out a little while ago, and there was all manner of singers on there, and Sir Tom Jones. Anybody heard of Sir Tom Jones? It's not unusual to be loved by anyone. You know, why, Delilah? You know, that Tom Jones. He had one verse in this song. And his one verse was this: you're gonna reap what you sow. The world understands what a man sows, that he will reap. Because he doesn't reap it instantly doesn't mean he's going to not reap it, because to everything there's seed. A time when you sow something, time, that's where we grow in our faith. And harvest, that's where we celebrate the manifestation of God being true to his word. Now, we need to understand it's not just about agriculture, but it's about the field of our life. Like I said, don't turn off, we've put money over here. But money is a section of your life that seed time and harvest affects. I'm not making apologies for something that's true. But equally, I'm trying to deliver this God law, this God principle that he's set in motion for our benefit from the taintedness of what people have done with it to use it to manipulate people to give money. God wants you to start sowing and reaping again in every area of your life, consciously, deliberately, forcefully, thankfully, joyfully. So I start to think that it's not just agriculture, it's the field of our life. What a man sows, that he will reap. And then I remember Genesis 1. All these teachings start rushing back in when you start talking about sowing and reaping and seed time and harvest. All the offerings you've heard over the years, all the teachings, the books you've read. And in Genesis 1, verses 11 to 12, I'm only grabbing a few of them tonight. It reminds us that everything has seed. And everything bears fruit according to its own kind. These are great principles to rediscover together, aren't they? But what we've discovered, I was talking to Pastor Josh and Sister Wendy about this. We had some coffee this morning, had some good fellowship this morning. And we were saying, but we've got to remember there's a generation that's now present that may never have heard these things. And because we got offended by them, familiar with them, we can't afford to not teach these things to young Christians and get them excited and living in the benefits of these things. So it says, everything has seed and everything bears fruit according to its own kind. All right, bear with me. Finances act like seeds. They do. Let's just bring it back for a second, but you're safe. I've put it back over here now. Nobody's going to get hurt. Words. Words are seeds. Money is seed. That's what it is. Money is seed. Everything belongs to God. Money is seed. You can eat your seed. You can sow your seed. You can eat your bread and sow your... It's seed. Words are seed. What you sow with your words will, after time, produce harvest. Come on, I've seen the truth of this in parenting. I've seen the truth of this in marital breakdown. I've seen the truth of this in friendships just being destroyed. But we've got to understand our words are seeds. That thing in the mouth incarcerated by your lips called the tongue isn't there for licking envelopes. Or eating pizza. It's a seed dispenser. And every word you sow is like a seed. When we understand the principle of seed time and harvest afresh, we start to be more careful with the words we speak. Understanding the principles that the power of life and death are in the tongue. Why? Because every word we speak has the ability to build up or tear down. Come on, as a pastor, I'm repairing words that parents spoke into their kids week in and week out. I'm pulling down bad harvests and speaking over young people, potential. God's got plans for you. You're not here by mistake. He's got a plan and a purpose for your life. We've got to understand our words are some of the greatest seeds that we sow, even in our own futures. When you're just speaking garbage over your life and your future, do you not realize you're putting seed in the ground? Prophesy good things over your life. Not things based from your feelings, things based from God's word. If you've got nothing to say, say nothing at all. But if you're going to speak over your life, speak the words of God. No weapon fashioned against me. I put that one in the ground every day. No tongue that rises against me. I know the plans he has for me. What I put my hand to is blessed. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the village. We've got to be sowing for a harvest we want. Listen, you listen to yourself sometimes, you'll be amazed. Words, attitudes. People think they can sow attitude and get away. No. You know, we have quite strong pastoring in our church. It's called me. We've got nice pastors, and then there's me that's just trying to desperately understand nice pastoring, but I get it sometimes, you know. I'm just a visionary. It's like I just get to the conclusions too quick. I'm like, yeah, you've given me enough information. Stop. We can get this all sorted in 5 minutes. And that's why I need good pastors that work for me. But sometimes people come to me and they go, I'm leaving this church. Well, okay, why? Why? Why are you leaving? Well, no one ever encourages. They've always got the face on them, haven't they? No one ever encourages me. Yeah, it's your face. That's what's putting them off. Strike one. Let's be honest with you. Come on, let's be honest. It's your face. Go look in the mirror and look what you're forcing upon people. Isn't that kind of pastoring really cool? It's like, you know, it's like when you read Footprints. Imagine if we rewrote that. We could offend so many people. You know the classic Footprints poem when it says, and I saw two sets of footprints, and then suddenly there was one set of footprints. And I said, where were you in those times? Imagine if we stopped there and said, and God said, yeah, sorry about that. I needed to grow you as a warrior, so I needed you to be able to stand on your own two feet. Yeah. Yeah, you're not convinced. All right. Anyway, so when someone comes and says, hey, no one ever encourages me, this is what I say to them. I say, okay, let's look at this in the light of seed time and harvest. When's the last time you encouraged someone? Because you're expecting a harvest that you haven't sown for. So let's get this sorted right now. Go and encourage someone. Get a smile on your face. Go up to someone and find something to encourage them. I mean, even if it's, you got nice teeth. Anything, just find something, you know. Just encourage. Get seed in the ground. Then you can come and complain that God's not done what he said. Now, the Bible puts it this way. He who waters others will be watered himself. That's the liquid version of seed time and harvest. He who wants friends needs to be friendly. Seed in the ground, time, harvest. God's given us so much control over our life. Yet we want to settle for blaming him and blaming others. Attitudes are seeds. I've got a whole list of different seeds here. The Spirit. He who sows to the flesh of the flesh will reap. He who sows to the Spirit of the Spirit will. You know, it's a choice. Do we just sow to fleshly things? Or do we sow our lives to the things of God? Because you'll sow and you'll reap from the field that you sow to. Your health. Now, come on, this isn't rocket science. I mean, you look at me and you say, yeah, but it looks like you work out like every day. I don't. Do you know, a lot of this is natural. It really is. A lot of this, it's just natural. I do nothing. I don't. It's just God's goodness. It really is. Some people have a six-pack. I've got a barrel. You know? Of his fullness have I received. I'm a temple, not a house. I mean, anyway. Now, what I've discovered with seed time and harvest is this. Sit and don't exercise and eat crisps or chips. You'll pull it off for a few years. But you will harvest that. Get off of your blessed assurance. Eat something green. Go for a long walk. We're not looking for excessive exercise. Just something. Let's have a starting block. And you'll harvest that. Even in our health, we can determine. Now, I know there's variables. I'm not saying there's not. But there's a lot of things we can do in what we sow food-wise into our life. The exercise, do we choose sleep on the couch? Well, you have to after you've been hanging out with these two. I mean, sometimes you're just taken, dragged away and beaten up with pizza. You know, you can't help those times. You just repent and then get up and say, whew. Watch these two. Keep these two apart as much as you know. Just. I know they play together a lot, but just don't. If they want you to go play pizza with them, just be careful. That's all I'm saying. All right. Just go be careful. Man, I reaped today. The seed was good, bro. It was some phenomenal seed, especially that chicken parmesan monster that you made there. Now, I can't do that all the time, otherwise I wouldn't retain this fine figure that I've got, you know. That's a luxury in my life. You know, I couldn't keep this physique if I kept doing that, you know. Now, again, joking aside, it's true, right? What we eat, what we exercise, all those things are seeds that we sow and we get a harvest after a certain amount of time. Normally when you cross the stage of 40 years old, you start to see the harvest from the 40 years when you did what you did. Now, I've even discovered that this is anything. I was sharing a story with Pastor Josh today and discovered that you guys have just done exactly the same thing. The Lord's been speaking to me about this for about, I don't know, about 6 weeks or so now. And he just really, and to tell you the truth, like I said, when he started saying, teach on sowing and reaping, I was like, I really don't need the hate mail. Because people are, your money, you're after my wallet. You know, God's not after your money, he's after your life. If your money is a part of your life, then include him in that, right? But I was in the Philippines, and I started to hear God speaking to me again, personally. Sow again. Sow again. And it wasn't about my money. It was about every area of my life, consciously be sowing. Be careful what you're saying. Invest into your health. Invest into your young leaders. Invest into people. Sow for where you're going or where you want to go. And I'm in the Philippines and I'm preaching in this rural area. I like the cities, but I love the rural areas. And I'm in this area called Aurora, which is in the middle of nowhere. It's out there in the countryside and coconut trees, and it's beautiful. And I was with the pastor who was the brother of my pastor in the Philippines who runs our congregations there. His name's Robert Dodero. Great guy. The sort of guy that goes off into the mountains and seriously eats monkey brains to win the guys that are primitive to those areas. I mean, this guy's a legend. And he planted 8 or 9 churches. And I had the privilege of speaking in one of his churches. And we went off-road. We got the love, all that stuff. And we turn up in this hut. And it's got bamboo, and it's got little roof. The land's owned by someone else in the village or in the little barangay there. And I sense the presence of God. In the middle of that hot, steamy, bamboo, corrugated, they started to worship. I said, this is good soil. And so we're driving back, and all of a sudden, the pastor stops a minibus, and he jumps out, and he's showing his brother this bit of land. And it wasn't, oh, Andy's over from England, let's get him to pay for some land. It was pure. He was just genuinely showing his brother this land. And I got out, because I'm nosy by nature, I really am. And so I got out, I was like, all right, boys, what's going on here? And I was looking, and they said, would you pray for us, Andy, Pastor Andy, because this bit of land, it's a cousin's piece that everybody's kind of related in that village. It's this bit of land, and they want to sell it, and this would be perfect. And we've just heard that the guy who owns the land where the church is, it's not he wants it back. And I looked at this bit of land, and it wasn't the ministry of hints. It wasn't like, you know, the person that prays, Lord, I need some new sneakers, size 10. It wasn't ministry of hints. He was just genuinely talking to his brother, saying, this plot of land would be brilliant. Listen, they want to sell it to us now. And so I said, how much does that bit of land cost, this bit of land? And they said it's I think it's 35,000 peso. For those who aren't kind of educationally or currency experts like myself, that worked out about $600 or $700 for this plot of land. This is where, again, I heard Pastor Vaughan Gerald. There's some things you don't pray about. Oh. There's some things you don't pray about. And this was one of them. And so I just heard myself go, listen, hey, we'll get that for you. I know I can find $600-700 easy. It's not a problem. You got that bit of land. And he's happy. And I'm walking back to the minibus. And as I'm walking back, as clear as anything, I'm walking back thinking, you're incredible. You're such a generous person. And you know, I was walking back like, you're such a nice person, you are. You really are. Look at you making people's dreams come true. Man, God's using you. You're just awesome. And I'm just walking back congratulating myself humbly. Going, it wasn't me, it was him. And I was just walking back, and all of a sudden I really felt the Lord, or what I knew to be the Spirit of the Lord, say to me, so you just need land, do you? And I stopped. Because in England, I oversee 8 churches in England, and I oversee a network of churches as well, but family churches made up of 10 churches. 8 of them are in England, 2 of them are in the Philippines, and 7 of them need buildings. Now, here in this land, it was awesome. It was a bit of land nobody was missing. That's why I rejoiced with you guys with 70-odd acres. I'm like, whoa. In Portsmouth, I'm in the first most densely populated city in England, number one. There is no land. It's like when American friends come over and they say, hey, brother, how much for 2 acres? I said, well, I'm not even going to answer because it's a stupid question. There isn't 2 acres. Everything has to come down. We're just locked in. There's people everywhere. We're so densely populated. I need a miracle. I need about £2 million to just get a basic building. You'd say, is that all you got with your money? To just get a building that would suit me. I need about £2 million. And so I'm walking there, and I really felt the Lord saying, so you just want land? I said, no, I don't want land. I want a building of my dreams so I can do what you called me to do. And I suddenly realized in that moment, we'd had all these it's funny, we're talking, you're telling me you guys did the same thing in India. I love this. Must be God saying something to his body, right? And we've done all these building schemes and these building offerings, but we'd never sown a church. We'd never come to the simplicity of the principle of divine order. And so I'm sitting there and I went, I don't want land. So I spun around and I went to these brothers who were still leaping up and said, oh, Lord, we love you. We love you. You're giving us land. And I'm like, okay, stop, stop, stop. Got a question for you. How much to put your dream building on that land? I said, now bear with me, because I'm not thinking building. I don't want the building they're building in Portsmouth. Every kind. And I said, tell me how much to build a building for you, right? But I'm talking, you got everything. Your toilets you want, the kitchens you want. I'm talking, this is what I'm looking at visually, right? You leaping around for a minimum of 12 months going, glory, look what the Lord has done. That's what I'm looking at. You dancing around for like, hey, glory, glory, look what the Lord. I mean, that's what I'm sowing. And it turned out it was around, it was crazy because they do the building themselves. It worked out about 3,000 to 4,000. I said, so you're talking for me like under $5,000. You can have land and a building, and I knew there were going to be excesses. I knew I had some this weekend, but I knew they were coming, you know. I said, you can have your dream building that you'll look what the Lord has done. You're spinning. You're like, glory, glory, hallelujah. Lord, you're more than we are exceeding. He said, yes. I said, I don't know how. Give me some time, but you'll have that money. Go and buy the land right now. And he said, oh, we'll put it under your name. I said, no. You're missing the point. I'm sowing a church. It's not mine. I have no claim over it. I'm giving it away. It's yours. And so I came back to church the following Sunday, and I'm up there, and again, I didn't take an offering or anything like that. I just said, all right, guys, I just want to let you know. I was in the Philippines, and again, my guys hate it when I go on mission trips because I always come back with, I bought this, I saw this, hey, I found this person. And they're like, oh, no, what's it going to be now? You know, holidays and mission trips, my guys hate it when I go on either. And I came back and I'm saying, I said, hey, when I was in the Philippines, I'd just given a church away. And I could see my executive pastor, Stuart, go, and the blood drain out. He's looking at me like, I said, I just gave a church away. And it's awesome. I said, look, I'm not taking an offering or anything. I just want you, the reason I'm telling you is I want you to agree with me. And I love it that pastors did this, you guys did this in India yourselves. I said, I want you to agree with me that I've put a church in the ground and I'm going to harvest a church after an amount of time here in Portsmouth, and I'm going to be running around for a 12-month singing, look what the Lord has done. Will you agree with me? I said, I'm not after your money. Will you agree? And the church went, yeah. It's amazing how people give to vision, eh? Before I left the building, before I left the hall, I had the full amount. Someone came up and just wrote a check and they said, Andy, do it. I said, cool. Before I left the building, I had twice as much. Which wasn't a problem because 2 years ago, I bought a bit of land in a place called Tiguliawigan, which is in the Philippines. And I'd never got round to putting a building on it. And then I suddenly realized, wait a moment, I need 7 buildings. So why don't we just lay aside, not the wisdom, let's keep raising finances, let's keep giving monthly, let's keep pledging, let's keep doing the wisdom part of what we should do. But let's not lay aside an ancient boundary stone. Because at the end of the day, I want to stand in a church in Portsmouth and not give a message on how brilliantly I raised the monies through strategies. I want to say, it's kind of dumb, but I put a church in the ground. I waited, and I got one back. Wouldn't that make me look such a lemon and God look so good? We've got to make God look good, not ourselves, amen. Now don't get me wrong, you guys, you got to keep on sowing and giving your pledges and getting behind what's going on with this land. I'm not saying that. But I was so excited today when Pastor told me that you guys, one of the things you did on this journey was give a church away and sow a church. I love that. I'm like, thank you, that really encourages me. Because we're coming back to these original principles. What a man sows, that he will reap. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest. Now, if you grab this today, That's the Lord giving the control of certain things in your future back to you. Come on, that's exciting. Yeah, I started to just make some notes on this, that we should all tonight be making a decision to stop, start, or continue. I loved that. I was laying there trying to digest pizza this afternoon the best I could, and the best my body could do on its own. But I thought, no, every one of us today in this meeting need to stop sowing something. Or we need to start sowing something. Or we need to continue sowing something with revelation, determination, and faith. Because I just really sense the Lord blowing the dust off of his principle that he established for the well-being of his people. Yet you've got people that run companies like Microsoft that are living in it more than the saints. I believe it's Bill Gates gives away 90% of what he earns and he lives off of it. Come on! This was for us! Yet we let heathen businessmen, there's so many businessmen I've met that don't believe in God, yet they say we're giving back to the earth. What the heck are you doing, you lemon? They've got the principle and it's working for them. Yet we're like, oh no, I flicked on the TV and this televangelist said there's 10 people out there that need to give 1,000. I gave it and I lost everything. Never giving him one of them offerings again. Listen, I apologize for the certain televangelists that use these principles to get money. I'm sorry. I apologize for them. Not all of them. But let's get the principles back operating in our health, in our families, in our marriages. Listen, I was having some fun this morning. I was talking about this Australian that came and did some marriage stuff with us a while ago now. And he pulled all our leaders together, the guys, and he said to them, all right, boys. You know the Aussie? He said, all right, boys, here's some truth for you. And this is a marriage expert. He went, stick with me now. This is going to be revelation. He said, all right, bedroom door. What you do this side determines what happens this side. And we were all like, that's genius. That's genius. Because we all thought it just, no. It's you vacuuming that gets your wife excited. We kid ourselves as men. We're like, well, we're just going to turn up and say, hey, I'm here, honey, in a skinny jean. Hey, hey, hey. Bit of Barry White on. Hey, lady, I'm here tonight. A few chocolates. And she's like, no. 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 And so I clicked on. So, I'm like, during the day, I'm like, hey, lady, you lady. Don't just walk away. I'm just sowing. Sowing. I've just took some marriages to a new level right there. Right there. Right there. Some of you men like, we never knew. Pastor Andy, you're like Yoda, aren't you? Wise I am. But listen, everything is subject to seed time and harvest. You speak idiot over your kid, you grew it. I've seen so many marriages and they've been saved when people started sowing again. Because when you first get married, you've heard my stories on this before. When you first get married, everybody's sowing seed. Everyone. But after a few years, the picture can look so different, can't it? Because someone forgets the principle of sowing and reaping, the man, the woman, or both of them. It's like, I've done so many weddings. I love doing weddings. And when you're standing there doing a wedding, it's like an eruption of emotions. People, you've got the man and the wife standing there. And he's like a stallion. He's like, and that's how it should be. And she's like Guinevere. Now, this is going to be ugly, but I'm not a woman. So, and they're standing there, and you look at them, you're like, easy, guys, hold it together, all right? Later's coming, but this is, people are watching. And you're like, awesome. But I'd be concerned if they were going, all right. I don't know if I'd marry them. And eventually they all go off after reception and, you know, anyway. But then you fast forward like 20 years. Oh, how different the picture. Suddenly, he's not coming down anymore to breakfast. He's put on a few kilos. The stallion has changed. And now he comes down and she's over here cooking brekkie in the morning, cooking some breakfast, just expecting the normal ignoring moment that certainly wasn't what she bought into at the honeymoon. But he comes down now, it's no longer, it's like, hey, 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 hey. Totally ignores her. And she's over here feeling ignored. Picks up his paper, sits there and starts reading and goes into auto response. She could say anything. I'm running off with the man from the baker's today. And he's like, he's a good man, him. He's a good man. I've always said he's a good man. The kids are going to go and play with your car. Yep, love our kid. There's somebody. And he doesn't realize he's losing his marriage because he stopped sowing. Come on, this is just a silly story, but it's got a big point to it. Imagine that night he goes to bed. And in his dreams, I don't care if it's the Lord or Christmas, past, present, and future. Someone help this guy. And suddenly he realizes, you lemon, you're going to lose your wife. You idiot. Now, I was taught, I remember this Puerto Rican pastor I knew, his name was Frankie Morales. He was a real character. And I'd only been married about a year. And I was preaching over in Carolina. And he pulled me over. He said, son, I've got some advice for you. And I was like, the disciple, tell me, talk to me. He said, Campbell's soup. And I'm like, I'm not with you. And he said, every day, tell your wife she's good. And I'm sitting there like this Englishman going, I never saw the advert. He said, she's good. He said, every day I tell my wife she's good. And I'm like, and I said, that's awesome. He said, you want to know why, son? I said, please tell me more. He said, because if you don't, someone else will. What we said, come on, this is. Anyway, here he is, he's waking up. He has this dream that his wife's going to leave him. He's like, no, slow motion. No. Yeah. And he wakes up. I'm not going to share any of this. This is just all extras tonight. And he wakes up and he comes down and she doesn't know what's happened. She's still over here cooking the breakfast. Over here, like cooking the breakfast and that. But he's come down, he's changed. He now walks into the room. He's dieting by faith. Wrapped himself in cling film or something. And she's like, something different here. Some of you are going to do this tomorrow morning, man. I can see it in your eyes. I knew you are. I'm not calling you out, but I can see you getting touched right now. And she doesn't know what's going on. And he, instead of sitting down and picking up his paper, he breezes up to her and gives her one of those moody. Just stormy. Just, and she's just like, her little lip starts to quiver. And he just stands and looks at her. And then he grabs her and spins her. It was a little bit hard, so he stops. And then he looks at her and he says, she's like, a little lip. He's, my love, there's only you in my life. The only thing that's right. You know what happens next? She looks at him and says, my first love. You're every breath that I take. You're And before long, they're in the kitchen. And your eyes, they tell me how. The rest is history. All he did was sow again. All he did was sow again. If your marriage is hitting a flat point, sow again. Finances. Bring it back in. Just saw your husband's foot go back on your purse. Your relationship with the offering basket can be obligation or revelation. No one should ever force you to give. But when we understand that this principle includes our wealth, we would be stupid to ignore it in our wealth. You need a relationship with the offering basket. You do. You need a relationship with it. But you know what I discovered recently, to my shame? For the last few years, I've not been sowing like I should. I've been giving money. I've been giving money, but somewhere on the course of the last years, I stopped sowing seed. But they're the same thing, aren't they? No. God wants us to, just in our relationships, in our words, and with our finances. Recently, I was in this meeting and I got so excited because it was good soil. And this person was speaking. I'm like, you're good soil. And I can remember I wrote a check, but it felt like I was doing it again for the first time. It was years ago in the barn when I first discovered these things. And I remember there was something different when I placed that check in the offering. Something was alive again. Something was fresh again. I realized again I was doing something between me and heaven. That no other person was involved. This was me, seed, and harvest. And you know what? It's only been 6 or 7 weeks since God's been just breathing this fresh understanding. But I'm noticing harvest breaking out. Now, I'm not like a stupid farmer that's going, well, I tried putting the seed in, there ain't nothing. No, you've got to give time because you reset your harvests. Now, as I've been praying about this, I said, Lord, what about if a person suddenly realizes when I'm teaching this that they have been sowing a bad harvest? And I really felt God say, I've got no verses for this, but I really felt him say, his grace is always bigger. But where there's a penitent heart, God, I believe, will blacken a field from a crop. But woe to the man that steps into that blackened field to sow the seed he sowed before. Because God sees the heart. I'm conscious in my life of certain things I've sown, attitudes, motives, agendas. And I've stood before my God and said, Lord, I don't want those harvests. I don't want those crops. Will you please blacken the field for me? And I believe I've got no evidence yet. But anything that's been wrong sowing in my life has been removed by his grace and goodness. But equally now, I've got to take responsibility and say, different seed. I'm not... Have you got a song for us, or? This doesn't happen in other big crusades I do. No, it does. It does. It always does. And then I just sowed something there. It's going to come back and bite me so bad. I'm going to wake up and a little foot will be kicking me in the head tomorrow. Like, where's your harvest? There you go. You funny last night? You like that, don't you? You funny boy last night. Did you get something? Are we there tonight? Come on, it's nothing new, but we don't need anything new. We need to realign our lives with what we sow, we reap. What we sow, we reap. You won't get away with it. You will not get away with it. But if you're in control of your sowing, you won't want to get away with it. You'll want the harvest of it. Sow time. Listen, this property you've got, seriously, you got a whole mountain. You're like the Waltons. I mean, it's like a little house on the prairie. I was running around like Half Pint this morning. I mean, it was just... A lot of you have sowed your finances. And a lot of you are going to keep sowing. Keep sowing. But I also want to say, sow your time. Don't do the normal church thing where a small percentage of people get involved because they think everybody's doing it. They're not. Let me just talk to you honestly, because I'm not your pastor. I am an incredible speaker, but I'm not your pastor. I'm a great father too. Husband, if Gina could be here, she would just tell you. Don't let the CD get to Gina, please. Come on, normally in church we say, hey, God's done this victory. We need to turn this thing. And sadly, I've seen it time and time again. 10 or 20% respond. And often others don't because they think everybody's doing it. They're not. You guys need to invade that place. If you can paint, paint. If you can cut grass, cut grass. If you can make pizza. Be careful with that. Do you know what a miracle you've been given? 70-odd acres, buildings. You got the dream. Can I just encourage you? Sow some of your spare time. Well, I just need more time, brother. I would come, but I just need more time. Sow your time. What a man sows, that he will reap. So I'm expecting just like cues, not tomorrow morning because I need to lay in. No, I'm joking. I'm expecting just bomb that place. Cut grass, paint. Life's busy, I get that. But it's so worth sowing into, right? All right, I'm kind of done. I think we're there. My prayer tonight is that this revives something in you. Not just about your finances. But seriously, if you're wanting to go somewhere financially, the question is, are you sowing in that direction? Yeah, but I haven't got much to sow. One last lesson. It's not the amount. The Bible teaches us it's the quality of the seed, not the amount. Otherwise, God would not be fair. And he'd make it possible for millionaires to live in a realm of blessing while non-millionaires, like most of us, were left out. It's not the amount. Again, lessons from the mountain. God looks at what's happening in the heart, not the hand. We're really flowing together tonight. We are that. Sorry, I just felt that. Ha! Ha! Just coming on now, you know? The widow in the. That widow. Ha! Glory in the temple. Ha! The carbs are. Seriously, the widow in the temple. The Lord turns around and he says, surely today she's given more. The disciples said, but wait a moment. We saw people with handfuls of money. God said, no, surely today she's given more. Because God looks at the quality of the seed. This is so old school, isn't it? I was taught by a great man. If you don't feel it leave your life, you won't feel it return. Let's be people that sow our best seed. Give your best time to what God's doing. Give your best finances to what God's doing. Give your best words. Give your best, give your best, give your best. Because we determine seed time and harvest, but we also determine quality of harvest. I haven't got nothing to give. Yes, you have. Every one of us have got something to give. Time, energy, effort, compliments. Every one of us. My prayer from tonight is that each of us would walk through life again, waking up and saying, today I am subject to the law of seed time and harvest. And I'm going to make that work for me today, not against me. It's going to produce good, not bad. The choice is ours. Father, I just thank you tonight. Father, that our salvation is an issue of seed time and harvest. 2,000 years ago, you sowed your best seed. And you said, unless a grain of wheat fall to the ground and die, it remain alone. But if it die, it produces a harvest far beyond its own. Father, today, the Church of Jesus Christ on this earth for the last 2,000 years and the years to come is the harvest of the seed you sowed, Father, in the perfection of that incorruptible seed called Christ. Lord, you believe in seed time and harvest, and you placed it in motion for us. Help us to lay down our familiarities, offenses, and ignorances of this principle so that we can begin to experience again harvest in our life that causes us to celebrate.